Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes to us from our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah 60, in particular verse 1, although we'll be looking at all the text. Verse 1 reads, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, well, their long, difficult journey is done. They had been following the star, and they had come to the right place. They began their journey in the far-off land of Narthex. Made their way across the plains of Side Isle, and now they have arrived at the Valley of the Two Trees. Our cardboard wise men. Why do we do that? Why take these men, these cardboard men, and have them cause this journey, make this journey? Why set this day aside? Why don't we go even further back? Why did God bring these wise men, these magi, to begin with? Why bring them to this place, to this child? Epiphany, properly speaking, was 2 days ago, January 6th. We move it to nearest Sunday. Epiphany, historically, has been the celebration of the arrival of the Magi, but it has also been, in many places, really our Christmas, the celebration of the birth of the Christ child. But what draws these men from the East? What caused them to leave their countries, leave their lives of luxury and leisure, get on camels and travel thus far to come to this place, this out-of-the-way place, to see this child? I mean, births happen all the time. Why these men? Why this child? As I thought about that over the last couple of weeks, getting ready to preach on Epiphany, I really came to three answers. One is, they fulfilled a prophecy. Two, they were a prophecy of what is yet to come. And three, that the world may know the proclamation of the Christ child. The first thing the wise men do is they come to, really, in fulfillment of a prophecy given in the Old Testament, given here in Isaiah chapter 60, nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your dawn, and then also in verse 6, they shall bring gold and incense, they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. The wise men come and it fulfills this prophecy given by Isaiah hundreds of years beforehand. They come that all may know that God keeps his promises, God fulfills his prophecies, God sends his son. They come and the prophecy is fulfilled. So the first reason for the wise men coming is the fulfillment of that prophecy, to testify that God is faithful, God is true, God keeps his word. God had said that nations and kings would come to the birth of his son, and here they are, all the way from the far-off land of Narthex. The second reason that the wise men come is that they're really a prophecy of what is yet to be or what will come in the future. If you were to look in the book of Revelation, especially chapter 7, it says this. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." The Lamb on the throne in Revelation is the Christ child in the manger at Bethlehem. The Lamb on the throne in Revelation is the one the Magi came to see. They're coming at the birth of this Christ child to come and lay their gifts before him is really a foretaste of what all nations will do at the culmination of all things. When Christ returns, when the Lamb rules, all nations will lay themselves, bow down before this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The wise men doing it here, the Magi coming from the East to do it here at his birth, is really a foretaste, a foreshadowing that that's going to happen, and it's going to happen worldwide for everyone. The third reason for the presence of the wise men is the one we kind of want to focus on this morning. The Magi come as a testimony that this Savior is not just the Savior of Israel. He's the Savior of all nations. The Epiphany story is a reminder that Christ is the world's Christ. The Magi kneeling before the child represent the world. Light has not just come for Israel only, but for all nations, for all people, for the world. from this place, this little tiny little town, this Bethlehem, the word would go forth that salvation has come for all mankind. The light has indeed dawned. Christ is the light of the world, and it has now shined in the lives of the Magi, of the wise men, and they would then become beacons that would shine that light forth in their own lands as they returned there. The word epiphany literally means revelation. God had revealed himself in Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to these wise men, and then through them, he would reveal himself to their countries and their people and their lands. They become beacons of the eternal light. They become the windows of the lighthouse, not the source, but through them the light would shine. This is exactly what Isaiah prophesied in chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come. It's such a simple sentence, but there's something very important to notice about it. The wise men shine with the light of Christ, but it's not because of them. They're not the source. The light has come, and that's why they can arise. That's why they can shine. They reflect the light of God. It has come from outside of them because they are sinners as you and I are sinners. It has come from outside of us because on our own, sin leaves us only in darkness. Darkness has been kind of a key theme in the whole book of Isaiah, but specifically these last few chapters. In the chapter right before Isaiah 60, Isaiah 59, we hear this. So justice is far from us and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Now as you hear that, you kind of get this picture of this guy trying to make his way through the world, but being blind to it, can't quite make his way. And so he's kind of feel his way through it and not quite getting there. He's walking in shadows, unable to see his way. But then chapter 60 comes. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the darkness is dispelled. This lays the path before him. Chapter 60 repeats that frame. See, darkness covers the earth, thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you, and the glory appears over you. The light of the world, Jesus Christ, breaks through the darkness of sin and shines upon his people. This is the light to which the Magi are drawn. This is the light they carry back home to others. This is the light that others must know as well. This is the light that shines upon you. You have been brought to this place. You have been brought from the far-off lands that you came from to this epiphany, this revelation, this light shining in a dark place. Like the rest of the world, we were in the darkness of our sin. But the light has dawned upon us and dissipated the darkness. Our sin and guilt seem to overwhelm us, seem to overshadow us. I'm not the kind of child I should be. I'm not the kind of son or daughter my parents deserve. I'm not the kind of husband or wife my spouse deserves. I do things I don't want to do. I find myself in the very midst of the very sins I try and avoid. I give in to temptation time and time again, and it's the same one, and I know it's coming. It is this darkness that overwhelms us. It is this darkness from which we cannot find our way out. Like the blind man in the hallway trying to feel his way along, we don't know the exit. It is for this darkness that Christ has come. It is for you that God has given this prophecy. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples. Thick darkness covered you. But the Lord rises upon you, and the glory of the Lord appears upon you. God has shown his light into the darkness of your sin. Whatever it may be, whatever you struggle with, whatever temptations come your way, whatever sin you seem not to be able to overcome, despite and in spite of that, and because of that, Christ's light comes. Christ's light comes with the forgiveness you need at precisely the moment you need it. The word comes as a light to you time and again, reminding you that you are forgiven. It's easy to forget that, isn't it? It's easy to forget that this Christ child is exactly for me. This forgiveness that Christ has won on the cross is mine. As I give in to the same temptation time and time again, as the same sin seems to overwhelm me and I seem not to be able to get past it, it's easy to come to a place where we begin to believe, I'm never going to get past it. And how could God possibly love someone who can't overcome such a simple temptation as this. But precisely into that darkness, precisely into those shadows, exactly at that moment, the light of Christ dawns. It is why he has come. It is why he has died. It is why he has risen. That in those moments of your deepest despair, your deepest darkness, when you believe, I'm never going to overcome this sin, I'm never going to overcome this temptation, Christ comes and says, you are forgiven, you are redeemed, you are mine. He shines into those moments. And we need it. We need that light shining in our life. Otherwise, it's all despair. God has shown his light over your darkness. God has come to you with forgiveness. God has offered it to you in his body and blood. God has offered it to you in his word. God has reminded you that he has given it to you in his word and spirit and water. You are forgiven. Arise. Shine. For your light has come. It really takes you to the next step. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. You're set apart for God. But in our American Christianity, that tends to become a very individual, very personal thing. I've been set apart. I've been redeemed. I've been elected. But that's not the way of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come. You have been redeemed. You have been saved. You have been elected for purpose. You have been set apart by God to be a light to the world, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You have been set apart for that purpose. The church has been set apart for that purpose. Like the wise men of old who came, saw the Christ child, had his light shine upon them, and took that news back to their own lands, so God has come to you. He has shown into your life. He has given you forgiveness of sins. He has redeemed you and set you apart for the purpose of reflecting his glory before the world, that his light might shine before the community around us. Too often the church has failed in this aspect of its work. It celebrates the light of Christ. It celebrates the forgiveness that we have, but it celebrates it as an internal thing, as something we share together, but barely glimpses and glimmers or beams of light get beyond us. The church's reaction to the culture has been twofold: withdrawal and assimilation, and neither are appropriate choices. The church is to be a beacon of the light of the world, of the forgiveness of Christ, of the gospel of our Lord before the world, and too often it's done one of two things. It's withdrawn from the world, been so afraid of the culture around it, that it has become this isolated, nice club of a community that celebrates that they are forgiven, that celebrates that we love being together, but doesn't look outside of itself. That becomes so afraid of what goes on in the culture and that may be permeating into our world of church that we pull up the drawbridges and say we must be on our own. Isolation. But the other extreme is equally not God-pleasing. Assimilation. To completely divest ourselves of everything that makes us church and simply look like the culture around us. To have no distinguishing features, no distinction. Neither of those options allows the light of God, the light of his Christ, to shine appropriately before our world. Instead, we need to be a contrast community within the world. In the world, but not of it. A loving community that not only loves each other within its community, but loves for the sake of the world, the true priesthood of all believers. We come together and receive from God and are reminded again that his light has shown itself into the darkness of our sin, but we do that for the sake of the world. That going forth from this place, they may see the light of God, they may see the glory of the Father, and give him it in heaven. You've been set apart. You have been redeemed. You have been saved. But not just for yourself. Not just so you can be saved. You've been redeemed. You've been baptized. You've been forgiven.
that God's light would shine through you to the world around you. To him be the glory, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.